Agriculture is evolving. As farms transition, the next generation is taking over at a time of rapid change in technology, but also a challenging ag economy. But even as more people become further removed from agriculture, some within the industry are taking it upon themselves to connect farmers and consumers. Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Rural Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Albrecht with Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and today we'll be chatting with Zach Johnson, a farmer from Lowry, Minnesota, but you also may know him better as the man behind the Minnesota Millennial Farmer. Welcome to the program, Zach.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. It's fun to be here.
Every farmer has a story of their own, and it's always fascinating to hear what sparked their interest. Zach, what led you to say, I want to be a farmer when I grow up?
I think what led me to it was probably the same thing as what leads most farmers to it. I grew up with it. I was born on the farm. I'm a fifth generation farmer. So just growing up on the farm and being on the farm every day, I guess, is what drove me to become one myself.
Now, you're a younger guy who's worked into your family operation. Did you have any fears or doubts about getting into this industry?
Not specific fears. There was a time right after high school or during high school, I guess, where I kind of questioned whether it was or wasn't what I wanted to get into. You know, certainly I loved agriculture, but I wasn't positive that I wanted to be a farmer right off the bat coming out of school. I went to school and kind of realized that maybe farming was better than I thought it was. And I came back to the family farm in 2005. And I'll be planting, I believe it's my 14th crop this spring. So I can't imagine myself doing something else right now at this point.
There's a fair amount of farm transitions that will be happening in the next few years. What are you hearing from some of the other younger farmers that are taking over or will be taking over at times and economical times like this?
Well, everybody's definitely concerned about the way the agriculture economics are right now. Things are expensive, land is expensive, machinery is expensive, even just inputs are expensive. So everybody's concerned about it, but you know, the best thing we can do is just try to remain optimistic and try to manage our way through it right now.
When you turn on a TV or radio, or you open up your phone, we're constantly hit with uncertainty, be it weather, the markets, potential tariffs, etc. Do you see this as a threat to retaining the next generation of farmers?
I think so, because it's difficult times to manage in. You never know. As you say, there's a lot of different threats out there, a lot of things that I guess I would call black swans that can pop up and really hurt our industry without really much warning at all. And that can be pretty detrimental. So if you're not a real experienced farmer or you're kind of on the fence about it, I think that's definitely going to affect your decision. But again, you know, hopefully if you remain optimistic and you're up to the challenge of trying to manage your way through it, I think it'll provide and create some opportunities for those who are willing to be up to the challenge as well.
And you answered probably a little bit of this next question. What do you feel are some of the biggest barriers for either younger farmers or young people that want to really get into farming?
I think the biggest barrier is probably the financial side of things. Again, with land and machinery and inputs being so expensive, finances, I think they always have been a big barrier. But now really in the last 10 or 20 years, I think they've really quickly become an even larger barrier because, you know, when dad wants to retire at age 60 or 70, I guess they say old farmers never retire, but when dad gets up to a certain age and the younger generation wants to come in and start taking some stuff over, there can be quite a bit of equity built up there and those assets are expensive and, you know, it's difficult to get into. If you're coming right out of college, it's not easy to try to grow $600 or $700 an acre corn and hope that you get the right weather and things work out.
We're seeing younger farmers find new ways of doing business through things like value-added agriculture. Is this an encouraging trend for the future of the industry?
I think it is. I think a lot of traditional farmers, especially corn and soybean farmers like myself, we feel a little bit threatened at times with some of the niche markets and some of the things that the younger generations are doing with being entrepreneurial and coming up with some new markets and some new opportunities there. But I think we need to really just embrace it and understand that we're lucky that there is a movement on food and people want to know what's in their food and how their food is grown. And that's okay. We just need to communicate the reasons why we do what we do and let people know that we care about our food as much as anybody else.
It's so easy to connect with people in today's world. Have you come across any online communities for younger farmers at all?
I have specifically on social media. There are groups out there that are directed towards the younger farmers. Most of the ones I follow, I'm not sure that they're specifically directed towards younger farmers, but being that they're on social media, it typically seems to attract the younger farmers to those pages. And so they are more filled with younger farmers. But there's definitely connections to be made anywhere online, no matter what you're looking for. So if you're a young farmer and you're looking for those kinds of connections, there are plenty of pages out there.
We are speaking with Zach Johnson, who farms around Lowry, Minnesota, and is also known as the Minnesota Millennial Farmer. And Zach, that's kind of where I want to take it next. You've gathered quite the following on social media and YouTube. As of this recording, you're going on nearly 43,000 subscribers on YouTube alone. What led you to pick up a camera and document your farming experience?
The reason I started doing it was because I had kind of gotten frustrated with some of the accusations that I could see online as far as what we're doing out here on the farm. What I really wanted to do was just connect to people who are not farmers and help them see that, you know, I'm a human being, I have a family, I have children, I live out here, I care about the lakes and the air and the soil, and if we don't take care of this environment, we're the ones that are immediately affected right away. So we care about our natural resources and we care about having safe, healthy food as much as anybody else. And so that's really what I wanted to do, was to have an outlet to try to connect to some of those people who were curious about what we do and why we do it on the farm.
What has the feedback been like since you started this?
It's been 99% positive. Most people are really supportive. They really enjoy seeing what I do, whether they're farmers or not. I get a lot of farmers and I get a lot of non-farmers, but it's mostly been positive. The negative ones, if they want to have discussions about something specific that they're concerned about, I'm more than willing to discuss those things with them. But if they want to be nasty and they want to be rude, then I usually just block them from the page and get rid of them, because if they've already made up their mind that something that I'm doing is bad, I really think I'm not going to be able to change their mind.
Now, with the feedback that you do get, do you go into the comments section and interact with them directly, or is there a different way you interact with them?
I try to respond to as many of the comments as I can. A lot of the times that just means I read it quick and hit the like button. But, you know, I try to respond or interact with as many of them as I can. I think I get to 80 to 90% of them. But if you have a video that has 1,000 comments on it within the first day, it's pretty difficult to sit down and take the time and respond to everything. But I do try and read as many of the comments as I can, because I think it's so important to have that interaction with the people that are watching your video. And if they have a question and I can go on there and answer it for them, maybe they'll feel a little bit more connected to me.
Has there been anything that's really surprised you as you've went along with this project?
Right away, it was a little bit more difficult than I probably was expecting, but about 6 or 8 months ago, when we started Harvest, I put out a couple of videos that really took off, and I started gaining subscribers, and the views were going on like crazy, and, you know, I was pretty surprised at that time, and I guess I just kind of decided that now's the time to hit it, and we've got fun stuff going on, exciting things to learn about, because we're in the middle of harvest now, and people seem to love watching it, and yeah, it was surprising to me at how fast the channel was able to grow there in a short period of time.
Did you ever imagine, and again, almost 43,000 YouTube subscribers, did you ever imagine that you would be getting this much attention when you first started up?
I think when I first started, I was a little bit naive to how difficult it would be to get that many subscribers, but at the same time, I didn't really sit down and think about how many people that is. And I've got, you know, like you say, the 43,000 subscribers now, and I've got several videos over 200,000 views. When I really sit down and think about the amount of people that those videos are reaching, that is pretty shocking to me. You know, the fact that 100,000 people want to watch me move tractors from one shed to another or charge the battery on something in a blizzard is surprising. You know, there are videos that I've made where halfway through I decide I'm wasting my time and I'm just going to turn the cameras off, and for whatever reason, I decide, just in case this makes somewhat of a video, I better keep going. And I'll edit it down later and put it online, and within a few days, I've got 100,000 views. And it's just, that does surprise me, that some of the videos seem to entertain people a lot more than I would have expected.
Now, when you see the way agriculture is portrayed out there in the general public, what are your thoughts in towards that impression that people are getting about this industry?
I think it's easy for us as farmers when we get online and we read the negative comments, it's easy to believe that agriculture is viewed in a negative light and that most people who aren't farmers, they don't like what we're doing. And it's easy to see that and see only those negative comments. But I think there's an 80 or 90% of people in the middle who just genuinely are curious about what we're doing because they're not connected to the farm. I've kind of made it my mission to try and reach that 80 to 90% of the people in the middle that are trying to decide what they think about what we're doing. And rather than trying to convince those 10% that what we're doing is good, they've already made up their minds they're not going to like what I have to say no matter what. So I've decided to concentrate on the rest of the people and just kind of hope that I can counteract the negative voices and try to be a positive voice for agriculture, because I really do believe that agriculture is generally viewed as a positive occupation.
Now, agriculture, of course, is a very large industry. There's so many facets. There's so many different commodities and things like that. Would you like to see more farmers get involved and get active in promoting the industry in a way that you do, or at least a similar way that you do?
I think so, yeah. There are several ways to get active in promoting agriculture, numerous ways. And if you're considering getting involved, I would urge you to do that. You know, there's very few of us. The percentage of people that are actively involved in farming is low, and it's getting lower and lower all the time. So we need to make sure that we tell our stories and that our voices are heard so that people don't hear only the negative voices. There's just not enough of us. And so the more of us that stick up for ourselves, the better. But, you know, on the flip side, if you're somebody who doesn't think you would do a great job with promoting agriculture, or you have a temper or something like that, if you don't think you're the right person to do it, then maybe you should step aside and allow the people who do want to do it and who are good at it to go ahead and do that.
If somebody were to be starting up today, what would you recommend that they do? What type of equipment do they need? How did you get started?
The way I got started was just through my smartphone. All I needed to start a YouTube channel was a phone with a camera and an internet connection. And literally within 1 hour, I had my channel started and I had a video on there. And you don't have to get fancy and edit your videos and throw a whole bunch of music on there. Some of my most popular videos are the ones where I pull out my cell phone and I talk for 3 minutes. And, you know, as long as you make it interesting and people want to watch it, people are going to watch it. You don't need to waste all your time doing the fancy editing all the time. And as far as what I would recommend getting into, there's a ton of avenues. If movies is your thing, there's YouTube. If you like pictures, there's Instagram. If you like to discuss the issues, there's Facebook and chat rooms and things like that. If you like radio, there's podcasts. There's all kinds of different things and different avenues that you can go with to get your voice out there with very minimal equipment and very little money involved in it.
So then, thinking back on your experience so far, and again, for those people that might be interested in doing it, what advice would you have for them that you kind of have learned along the way that you wish you would have known early on?
I would say, first off, you don't have to make it complicated. It really does not have to be complicated. As long as you provide content and people are interested in it, and you talk or take pictures or make videos of something interesting, people are going to watch that. And just being a positive person with a positive message for agriculture is going to get you a long ways and help our industry out.
How can people find your pages online, or where can they go?
The first place I'd like you to look at, the best place to go would be on YouTube. If you go there and you search MN Millennial Farmer or Minnesota Millennial Farmer, my page will pop up. You'll find me there. I'm also on Instagram under the same name, MN Millennial Farmer, and on Facebook. I'm on Snapchat and Twitter as well, also on LinkedIn. I don't use those platforms quite as much. I'm not real good at working my way around those platforms, but I am on just about all of the social media platforms out there. But the main ones would be YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook.
Zach, thanks for spending some time and chatting with us today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Adam.
That's Zach Johnson, who farms near Lowry, Minnesota, and also best known as the Minnesota Millennial Farmer. That's a wrap for this episode of the Rural Perspectives podcast, which is a production of Ag Country Farm Credit Services. To get more great content, please visit www.agcountry.com.